The cheap roads were clogged even at 6:30, but he was only four blocks from a premium Bechtel freeway, and that was eight lanes, $2 a mile, and no speed limit. He sped past office buildings and factories with a needle on 95 miles an hour.
It's a completely user-pays world. Roads, schools, hospitals. Taxation has been abolished. The whole public sector, including the police and even the government, has been privatised. The government exercises little control over what corporations do. It's a brave new world of corporate freedom and credit cards.
There is complete freedom to do more or less what you want. And what that results in the book, is those people and corporations with the most wealth get to hire security firms so they have their own private police. They get to use that money to turn it into influence. The most important thing about you is your job. So if you have a good job, then it says everything about you. It means you're wealthy, you can live somewhere nice, have a nice car. And in the book, everyone has as their surname, their corporation. It's kind of this play on the idea that surnames evolved out of occupations. It used to be Smith was the village blacksmith or whatever. And so now it's Jennifer Government. In the book, it works for the government. And John Nike is the bad guy, works for the Nike Corporation. And yeah, that is just this idea that your job is so important that it is an integral part of who you are. And in the book, there's people who don't have a surname, who are unemployed, are vaguely embarrassed about that. So if you have to front up somewhere and say your name without a surname, then everybody knows you're unemployed.
In Max Barry's New World Order, Australia has become what he calls a USA country.
Corporations are economic entities. They were created solely to make profit. They're a completely artificial invention. And I think that's fine as long as they stick to doing what they were designed to do, which is being economic, making products and services. You know, they perform a very valuable function in society. What we have now, though, is corporations who are getting into lobbying government, who are starting to have a say in how the world should be run. When you get a corporation with incredible financial resources, being able to have a say over what laws get passed and who they benefit and who they don't, that is scary. That is scary. And to think that you need to go and exchange money for influence with a corporation before you can actually become a politician, become a leader of society, that is scary.
Max, what are your insights from working in marketing and in a computer area about how our politicians and the government behave?
Well, marketing is something that we're all familiar with from the consumer end. Certainly, you know, advertising, we get exposed to a ton of that stuff. You see thousands of ads every day. What people don't see is the other side of that, which is this kind of lobbying of government and the way that corporations do pay a lot of money to have a voice close to politicians' ears. So I didn't really see any of that personally. I wasn't involved in that. I was in the kind of sales and marketing side that is not so secretive, not so cloak and dagger, just out there and as superficial and everything as you'd expect. But it was a little bit alarming just knowing that the corporation that you worked for was spending quite a bit of time and money and effort to have an opinion about laws that would affect it and just thinking about why it was doing it. Why I Love America by Hayley McDonalds. America is the greatest group of countries in the world because we have freedom. In countries like France, where the government isn't privatized, they still have to pay tax and do whatever the government says, which would really suck. In USA countries, we respect individual rights and let people do whatever they want.
Why did you single out France?
This all happened before the whole invasion of Iraq debate, and France became America's number one enemy in a sense. But I needed some way to contrast the way that the US was in the future and Australia is in the future, because in the book, Australia has been absorbed into the US. And in fact, large parts of the Western world, including the UK, are part of this kind of enormous ultra-capitalist bloc. But the whole world is not like that. There are small communist countries, there's China, and then there's the European Union, which is kind of in between the two. It's not totally free market, but then it's certainly in that vein. So France is just used in the book, and there's a character who comes from France as a country that is really like Australia or France is today. It's clinging to this idea, archaic in the book, of public healthcare and public education and tax. So it's just a nice way to have the characters be able to look at one and look at the other and see the differences between them.
Now, the lingo you use is also Americanized, I note, like dialogue, spelt without the UE at the end, mom, M-O-M,
oh, yeah.
Fall for autumn, obviously cell phone, the emergency number 911. Mm-hmm. Miles have replaced kilometres. Does this have any link with the idea of a free trade agreement with the US?
It has a link with the idea of cultural homogenization, the way that American culture is being exported all over the world. And yeah, in the book, Australia is part of the US, so everybody speaks with a vaguely American accent. We've adopted American English. So that's why those sort of things are in the book. The amazing thing about America is that it exports vast amounts of culture. It's TV, movies, music. It has an enormous part of the internet is in the US. And so we are getting this incredible influx of American influence on just everyday things like how we speak. And I do see that as inevitable. I do see that Australia and a lot of smaller countries like Australia will have to give up all these customs and particularly Australian traits. They're just going to be lost because you can't legislate against kids wearing a baseball cap backwards for a team they've never heard of and is based in Los Angeles. It's just going to happen. I have a cell phone, a kid said, handing it to him. Bai dialed 911 and tucked it under his ear. Haley was looking at him. He realised she wanted him to take her hand. He squeezed it tightly. 9/11 emergency, how can I help you? I need an ambulance. Quickly, a girl has been shot at the Chadston Walmart Mall. Certainly, sir. Can you tell me the girl's name? Haley something. Please come straight away. Sir, I need to know if the victim is part of our register, the operator said. If she's one of our clients, we'll be there within a few minutes. Otherwise, I'm happy to recommend... I need an ambulance, he shouted, and it was only when water splashed on his hand that he realised he had started to cry. I'll pay for it, I don't care, just come. Do you have a credit card, sir? Yes, send someone now. As soon as I confirm your ability to pay, sir, this will only take a few seconds. There's nothing that you can do to stop people watching American TV shows and enjoying American movies. So yeah, I think that's just going to happen. It's not as if we will be totally dominated by the US because there's a bit of back and forth there as well. But at the moment, yeah, the US puts out a ton more culture to the world than it accepts back.
How realistic do you think it is, this globalism taken to the extreme?
I think some parts of it, we certainly are moving in that direction. The way that corporations are gaining more influence over society, the way that you see them putting their names on things that never had corporate influence before. You know, even in education now, you see that the federal government's talking about these technical colleges that they're going to set up, and they will allow corporations to name them. Which is, you know, an idea I had in the book where you've got the Mattel primary school and the kids are kind of taught lessons in between being shown the latest Barbies and given the latest Mattel propaganda. So you do see like corporate naming of things that it never used to be. That sort of stuff, definitely, I think we're moving in that direction and I don't think we're ever going to be able to stop it. We've taken too many steps down that path already. But then other things in the book, for example, the idea that we're actually going to get rid of government, I don't see that happening. I actually think in reality it'll probably happen the other way. You find that corporations are so effective at lobbying government and worming their way into government that corporations and government will probably merge to the point where it's very difficult to tell where one stops and the other starts.
Do you have a credit card?
Oh yeah, definitely. Got a couple. We can't survive without a credit card. I'm not saying these things are evil, you know, that corporations should be shut down because, as I said before, they provide a vital role in society. I mean, you can't deny that capitalism generates wealth for the vast majority of societies. And there's a reason that all these powerful and wealthy countries today are quite capitalist. But, yeah, that doesn't mean that we should be letting corporations off the leash and instead letting them put us on it. They're meant to be serving an economic function, not deciding how society should be run, and certainly not worming their way into the education of kids and having influences over areas like that.
So what is happening to individual freedom?
Customer loyalty programs, it was a big reason behind why I wrote this novel. I had the idea around the time that the big flybys thing was just getting started. And I noticed that it was the whole aim of the program was to lock you into this certain set of corporations, to buy only from them. The idea behind the free market is that we set corporations up to compete against each other, and that's good for us. They have to lower prices, make better products, all that good stuff. But when you get a loyalty program in, then it becomes anti-competitive. You start getting people who are loyal to a particular block of corporations and will just shop from it. You know, they're really replacing even the idea of being patriotic to a nation. You know, there's the idea that you could be patriotic to your block of companies. So this whole driver behind the idea of you start off with this freedom, they can do whatever they want, and then it ends up being not so free because you end up getting locked into things like these consumer buying schemes and power, reinforcing power and all that kind of stuff.